You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
And down the stretch we come. Welcome in MLB.com Extras, Houston Astros edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Brian McTaggart. B-Tags, how are these guys holding up in the heat of this pennant race? It seems like injuries are becoming an issue.
Yeah, it's been a rough few days for the Astros. Jed Lowry fouled a ball off his foot, and man, was on the next pitch, was hit by a pitch on the foot in Arlington on Monday. So he's day-to-day. You know, Carlos Gomez over the weekend strained his intercostal muscle swinging a bat during batting practice. He's missed a couple of games in a row. He's day-to-day. Marwin Gonzalez has a swollen finger, and we all know Marwin's been playing a lot in recent weeks, but he's day-to-day. And then Jason Castro's been on the DL and took some off at any time. But some of their key players, four guys right there could be in the starting lineup right now, are really banged up. And not an ideal time to be banged up just with the, you know, we're down the stretch here. Of course, they do have expanded rosters, so that helps. But, you know, they want Castro and Lowry and Gomez and Marwin in the lineup. I mean, those are four of their key players. So maybe by the end of the Texas series, they can get a couple of those guys back, and then maybe by the weekend, they can get back to full health.
Well, you know, they have been, this is an organization and a team that has been very adept in various platoon situations. They like to play matchups and those types of things. Does that help mitigate it at all? And how close indeed is Castro to coming back?
Castro, I think, is pretty close. He's doing some agility drills, and you know, I think by the end of the Rangers series, he'll be back. The other one's, you know, kind of question mark at this point. But, yeah, they do play a lot of matchups with, you know, platoons. But Marwin's such a valuable guy. You can play him at third. I mean, if Jed Lowry's injured, you could have put Marwin at third. But now, you know, if he can't play, you're going to put Valbuena over there and put maybe Carter at first. Not your ideal lineup. That's the thing about Marwin and Lowry, two guys who are a little versatile. They can do a lot of different things. Both are switch hitters. You can put them anywhere in the lineup, really. So not having those guys, you know, hurts at this point. But some other guys are going to step up. We know they called up Matt Duffy, who's a first baseman, third baseman. He was a PCL player of the year. But then again, do you want, you know, a guy making his major league debut starting in a huge game in September for you? So who knows? We'll see what kind of Matt lineups AJ Hinch can put together here over the next few days.
It's getting pretty intense. And dropped the opener in the Rangers series, first of four, which narrows the gap to a half game. How are these guys, because there are a lot of young guys who, or, you know, not so young guys necessarily even, you know, who really haven't experienced a whole lot of this atmosphere in the past. How are they handling it? How do you, you know, what kind of sense do you get around this club?
Well, I think they're handling it pretty well. If you're talking about Altuve, Dallas Keuchel, you talk about Marwin Gonzalez again, George Springer, even Correa at 20 years old, guys who have never played meaningful games in September in the major leagues. And so, you know, maybe it helps that they haven't. They don't know any better. They just go out there and play. But young or old, they're going to need some guys to step up. You look at their loss Monday in Arlington, it was Jed Lowry, a very experienced player, dropping a pop-up at third base that led to a run. It was Colby Rasmus, another experienced player, making a base-running gaff at third. And then Scott Kazmir, of course, an experienced starting pitcher, throwing a bad pitch to Moreland. So, you know, young or old, it's going to come down to execution. But, you know, guys like Keuchel and Altuve and Marwin have been here longer than any other Astros. This is what they've been waiting for, their chance to play in these games. So I don't think anything fazed them. I don't think this team is nervous or panicking. I think that's all a product of their manager. He kept them on an even keel. And at the end of the day, heading into the Rangers series, they still lead the Rangers. The Rangers are going to have to run them down even though it's tight. The Astros still control their own destiny, and that's all you can ask for right now.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, the Rangers have been a hot team, though, in the second half. Things flared up between these two clubs earlier this year. Now this series, I mean, it's just perfectly timed, really intense. What was the atmosphere like on day one?
Well, it was a little disappointing, to be frank with you. I mean, there were only 27,000 fans, so I was kind of surprised. I mean, I thought we'd get a bigger crowd, maybe a real October-type feel, but that wasn't the case. And, you know, a night earlier, there were 100,000 fans across the street watching NFL football. So, you know, I don't know if the fans don't come out for Monday games or they're kind of waiting to see a little bit later, but these are about as big a games as you can get. And for the turnout to be that that mild, I think, was a little disappointing. So, you know, maybe by the end of the series, we'll pick up a little bit. But I think it's great these two teams are in this position. And, you know, this is like the Oilers and Texans playing a meaningful game in December with the division on the line. And there should be a lot of excitement around it, more than there is. And look, they play next week again, three games at Minute Maid Park. And, you know, those are weekend games, so I certainly expect that Minute Maid Park, the last three home games of the year, and who knows where the standings will be. But I certainly expect there to be huge crowds and a real playoff-type feel for those games.
Oh, I'm sure that is going to be a wild scene. Like you, a little surprised in the opener in Arlington, although I guess the time of week might be a detriment there.
Yeah.
The road hasn't been real kind lately. This has been a tough road trip. You have three left in Arlington. You know, every game is so important. Every moment so magnified this time of year. But what do you think they have to do in these last three games? Do they have to take two out of three? Do they need to salvage one? Or is it one of those where, no, you got to win every single game?
Well, I think they can't afford to get swept. I mean, if they get swept four games here, that's worst case scenario. Then they're going to Houston with two games, with 2 weeks left. They're down 2.5 games, not trying to catch the Rangers. Not what you want. You know, if they can get one, then you're down a game and a half. But I think they need to take two or three and keep the lead in the division. Going home for nine games where they've been very, very good. And then if they can feast off the home crowd and playing in Minute Maid Park like they've done all year, then that would set themselves up going into that final week. I mean, look, they've struggled on the road since late May. So their last six games are on the road. So you don't want to go into that last week having to win some road games. You want to put yourself in good position to where maybe you can play 500 or go 2-4 on the road trip and still be in good shape. So I think they need to win two of the last three. And they have a couple of pitchers going that they got to feel pretty good about in Keuchel and McHugh. A couple of guys are going to win 17, 18, 19 games. So if you can't win with those guys on the mound and some pressure games, then, you know, maybe it's not meant to be. But they absolutely cannot afford to get swept by the Rangers. And then I think everyone's fears, I know Astros fans really lament every time the team loses a game. But I think if they get swept by the Rangers, then I think people have a reason to worry.
Do you get reactions, you know, in the clubhouse, bus, whatever the case? Do you sense the guys, you know, living the highs and the lows? Maybe not quite to the extremes that the fans do. We all know guys in a clubhouse are better at keeping that even keel. But do you sense it? Do you sense they're, you know, they might be on a little bit of a roller coaster too day to day?
I think they handle it pretty well. I really don't see the lows. The highs you see because, you know, especially the game Sunday where they pulled off the miraculous five runs after two outs and nobody on to win. Obviously, a very excited clubhouse. But I really haven't seen too many cases where you go in the clubhouse and everyone's got their heads down or, you know, bashing water coolers. It's been such a long season and they've played up and down all year. They've been pretty inconsistent all year. They played very well early on and got 13 games over 500. Since then, they've sort of just lived off that. They've been a 500 team. So, but I, you know, it goes back to AJ. I think AJ has done a great job of keeping them focused on the task at hand, the game at hand. We lose, so what? We have another one tomorrow and come back. And he's still using that approach today that, hey, we control our own destiny. We go out and win the day and we're set.
What player in that clubhouse sort of sets that tone or helps keep that positive edge? You know, it seems like there's always that guy, whether it's Bagwell or Lidge or, you know, Biggio, somebody like that over the years. Who is it that's sort of that stand-up, you know, keep the chin-up kind of guy in that clubhouse?
Well, Tuve certainly developed into a leader. I don't think there's a lot of vocal guys in there. But a guy like Altuve, Chad Qualls, who's been around when you talk about the relievers, is a guy that fills that role. And believe it or not, at 20 years old, Carlos Correa is not afraid to step up and say what needs to be said at times. Because that's just who he is. He's been a leader at everything he does, and as years come and he gets service time, I mean, I think he'll develop into just a tremendous leader on this team. But there's not a Bagwell, Biggio type guy or Lidge like you mentioned, like there was 10 years ago. You know, this is a young team, but they do have some veterans in the Jed Lowrys and Gregerson and Qualls and Nishik, some guys who've been through the wars before. I think they all understand what's in front of them, but not a lot of rah-rah, you know, get behind me type guys.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man, it is,
it is pretty thrilling to watch. The remaining three games there in Arlington are going to be pretty exciting. Have fun with the B-Tags, and I look forward to talking again next week in front of the series at home against these Rangers.
Sounds good, Dave.
All right, there he goes. Brian McTaggart, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.